we set up a supervised test bed, a sort of environment where regulation is loosened a little bit to experiment. Not experiment at scale, but experiment in small ways, allowing companies, schools, hospitals, and agencies to use AI tools using real guardrails. The idea is that we provide a little sandbox before it becomes a whole beach, before the sand scales up, so we can get it right.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast with Sanjay Puri. AI is changing the world faster than rules can keep up. So how do we protect people without killing progress? Each week, Sanjay brings you inside conversations with global leaders, policymakers, and innovators who are wrestling with that exact question. So if you're curious about the future of technology and how it's governed, you're in the right place. Today's guest is Governor Matt Meyer, Delaware's 76th governor, a former teacher, startup founder, and a diplomat who's now leading the way on responsible AI governance. He's turned Delaware into an AI innovation hub, launching the nation's first OpenAI partnership for students and workers, and building an AI sandbox to guide ethical adoption. A leader with heart and vision, he's redefining what it means for a state to lead in the age of AI.
Governor Meyer, thank you so much for joining us on Regulating AI.
Hey, thank you, Sanjay. It's great to be here, and congratulations on everything you've done with the podcast. It's playing a critical role in informing the public and decision makers like me on the latest, greatest stuff that's out there and how we need to act on it. So I appreciate it.
You've worn so many different hats over a period of time: teacher, entrepreneur, diplomat, county exec. What are some of the principles from those experiences that are guiding and shaping you from setting up AI governance today?
First and foremost is don't run away from new things and new technology. It can be really scary. I mean, you can imagine I was 30 years ago, I was starting a footwear company in Nairobi, Kenya. And we were selling sandals just kind of locally in Nairobi. We had a dream of making sandals and selling them all over the world. And the World Wide Web was just coming of age. And some guy in the West Coast of the U.S. started selling books out of his garage online. And from that, you know, we're like, oh my God, like what if big companies start selling footwear and there's online and to Kenya and there's no chance we're going to be able to succeed. But we found we could embrace it and take advantage of it. We ended up growing our business to a business with 30 employees selling in 17 countries from a little really poor neighborhood in Nairobi. Listen, I'm enthusiastic about technology generally, but I'm more interested in what it does for people. There has to be some people impact of that. I learned from that as a young guy that the value of the World Wide Web, the value of e-commerce is what it actually does and means to people. There's no end or value to AI itself. AI is not a destiny. It's a tool. And our job and my job is to figure out how do we make it a useful one? How do we make it a tool that actually improves lives and doesn't ruin lives?
You know, you've been in the job very, very recently, but you moved so quickly on AI and launching workforce programs, certification pathways, AI sandbox. And I'm sure you got many things up your sleeve coming up. Why did you decide that Delaware should lead, you know, as a small state rather than follow? And what's your overarching vision for, you know, state-led AI governance?
You know, I learned both as a small business owner and as a teacher, Sanjay, you want to be the first to value, not the first to hype. There's certainly in my business, there's an inclination to be the first to hype, the first to have the latest, greatest social media post or whatever to grab the headlines, throw an event. I'm less interested in that. The key is how do we pilot something fast? How do we measure it honestly? And how do we scale what works? And I think with an unknown tool like artificial intelligence, we want to make sure we're doing that. The quicker we can get products to and things and services and new tools to market, the quicker we can get either government workers or the broader public at large to use it with appropriate guardrails, the more we'll have feedback, the more AI can iterate, the tools can iterate, not just iterate the technology, but iterate the human uses. So we understand, oh, this great thing that we think can be of tremendous benefit maybe isn't really of benefit, but this other thing we never really thought of, this is how people are using it. So we're eager to be, we're known as the first state. Delaware is the first state of the 50 United States to sign the Constitution, and we're eager to be the first in AI as well.
Do you ever worry that there is too much hype on AI, Governor?
I do worry there's too much hype in AI. I worry that many people see artificial intelligence as an end. I worry that many people making key decisions don't really understand AI and machine learning. I have the benefit that in college, I actually programmed in Lisp. That is the basis of it. And what I learned from that, or one thing I learned from that experience, is that artificial intelligence isn't really intelligence. It's building machine models. It's building bits and bytes to try and replicate really how humans think, just thought processes, and they can be built and they can learn in any way in which we direct them, and we can put guardrails on them in any way in which we direct them. And it's really important we do that. There's also, we have to be honest about, there's a serious profit motive out there. This is $1 trillion market we're talking about. And there are a lot of people out there trying to make a buck. They're not looking out for the welfare of Delawareans or Americans or humans. They're looking to do whatever they can to make a buck. And we have a serious responsibility in putting up guardrails to make sure that humans, that Delawareans, that Americans are protected.
I mean, people are saying, hey, we're going to have thousands, millions of agents. These agents are going to report to employees and other stuff, et cetera. It's going to be a huge, huge benefit. Any thoughts on AI agents, Governor?
Yeah, one of my greatest concerns with AI is job loss. That if we're introducing new technologies that make it difficult or impossible for a large number or a majority of Delawareans to get up in the morning and earn a living, you're not going to see much support from me. So I think agentic AI is exciting insofar as we can really identify what the human benefit is. I'm open to experimentation, to putting a few things out there with appropriate guardrails, ensuring, saying this will not cause any job loss. There's not a single human in Delaware who will lose their job because of the introduction of this technology. And then monitoring and seeing how can we create meaningful efficiencies? Because if there is going to be job loss, we have to make sure it's really job dislocation. I don't know if you remember 8-track tapes. I don't think we need to be listening to music on 8-track tapes from generation to generation. Whoever's making 8-track tapes might lose their job so that people who's making cassette tapes can get the jobs, and then people who are making CDs can take over from them, and the people making digital music can take over from them and downloadable. I think that progression is fine, but we just need to protect people through the process. We need to make sure that the folks making 8-track tapes, the folks doing work that may be overtaken by agentic AI, have substantial opportunity to be retrained, to be upskilled, to maybe program some of the engines or provide maintenance to some of the agentic AI engines, because certainly there will be need for maintenance or work at data centers that are ultimately fueling these. So I think that's really where we're looking. It's okay to introduce things that could in time make production processes more efficient, but we got to make sure we're putting people first when we do that.
And some of our listeners, when they knew you were coming on, have expressed some concerns about regulatory capture and wanted to know what safeguards are in place so these partnerships are public, as you said, putting people first. So talk a little bit to our audience about that.
So Delaware is the first state to partner with OpenAI on its AI certification program. So students, teachers, and workers can prove real-world AI fluency from basic workplace use to advance skills like prompt engineering. If you think back to sort of when I was in high school, there was this new product, Microsoft Word, and whoever got trained on it quickly, remember everybody used to put Microsoft Word proficient on their resume. It was a feather in your cap. What we're trying to do is enable as many Delawareans as possible to be able to put that feather in their cap earlier than residents of other states and other countries. People can prepare and test inside what's called ChatGPT's study mode in this partnership with OpenAI. It sort of meets learners where they are for people that don't have much experience or knowledge of chatbots and ChatGPT, and it lowers some of the costs and friction of learning. We're running it through an office of workforce development, so that deals with some of the job loss concerns. The credentialing is really based on upskilling workers to get better jobs and better pay with on-ramps into high schools, community college, adult education, library, and other areas. The bottom line is this is going to be an opportunity to pilot an educational process, a workforce development process, and we're going to look at it closely. We feel like we've put up guardrails to make sure that privacy, that safety, and that job loss is protected, but we're going to watch it closely and see what happens. The advantage of being the first is you can provide tremendous benefit to your state, to constituents over other states. The downside is there. We're honest that there may be some missteps. We have to be measuring constantly and recalibrating as well.
You also now put together an AI sandbox. So for our listeners or entrepreneurs who are out there and looking at Delaware, which, as you said, you want companies to come in to Delaware to build systems in Delaware. What problems does it de-risk, and who gets to participate in that sandbox?
If you ask me, Delaware is number one in everything. We have the best food. We have the best sports teams. We have the best universities, high schools, middle schools. I understand if you ask other people, they may not agree with me on everything, but they will agree with me that Delaware is first, really in the country and in the world, in corporations. We are the corporate home for 2/3 of the Fortune 500, the largest 500 companies in the world. Pretty much any company doing business in the U.S. Either incorporates in Delaware or in rare cases chooses to incorporate wherever their headquarters is. As a result of that, we have scale in corporate governance for many of the leading corporations in the world. We're making the rules. We have the court system that governs many of the complex corporate decision-making that's done every day in the modern business world. Obviously, AI is increasingly part of that decision-making process, agentic AI, as you referenced. We want to make sure that we're not rejecting these new technologies wholesale, but we're including them in our regulatory processes. So what we did, it's a long way of saying, we set up a supervised test bed, a sort of environment where regulation is loosened a little bit to experiment, not experiment at scale, but experiment in small ways, allowing companies, schools, hospitals, and agencies to use AI tools using real guardrails. It's temporary regulatory flexibility paired with consumer protections. The idea is that we provide a little sandbox before it becomes a whole beach, before the sand scales up, so we can get it right. Delaware is the leader globally in corporate governance law. People around the world look to Delaware corporate law decisions and our statute. We have the best lawyers and judges in the world, and we have a unique opportunity to work with the tech industry to understand how the business utilization of AI interacts with corporate governance, with actual governance of corporations. Can you have a board member sit in a room that's an AI engine and helping to make decisions? I would hazard to guess that many companies have that now, but it's somebody just sort of quietly sitting on a laptop, you know, typing queries into Perplexity or ChatGPT. What we're saying is, can we have an AI seat at the table just as often in Zoom calls and stuff? You have your AI note takers? And can that have some legal relevance? And where do we put that? Listen, we already know companies are using agentic AI in a variety of ways. Retail companies are using AI agents to negotiate contracts for logistical supply chains. Agents are creating LLCs and limited liability companies and various entities, and in some cases, managing them. We don't have all the answers yet, but Delaware is definitely the place to discover the right way to develop responsible products fit for business that can protect and ultimately support and assist customers around the globe.
Do you think AI or AI agents should have a seat on the board?
How does it help human beings? If having an AI board member sit at the table is going to help corporate governance to be more honest, more transparent, produce efficiencies that are good for stakeholders in a company, for employees, for shareholders, and especially for customers, then we think it's a good thing. If it creates risk, if the safeguards are not there in terms of privacy and consumer safety, if there are ethics concerns, that the one thing I don't believe any AI engine has figured out is how to really develop a true sense of morality and ethics. And I think that's vitally important in any corporate board seat. And if we don't figure that problem out, then maybe it's not a good idea. So for me, the jury's out. I think you can think of situations where having an AI engine could be tremendously helpful to do complex corporate decision-making very quickly, efficiently, that moves companies and our business sector, various business sectors forward, that maybe even makes life, you know, and communities healthier. If you think of like health tech sector and various chemical, pharmaceutical technologies that could really help people move forward. But I'm not all there yet. I got to see what human benefit is. Let me give you one example that's not directly related to our sandbox. I was a sixth and seventh grade math teacher 10 years ago. And we spent about 24 days in a school year with kids sitting, doing standardized tests, right? Today, things have changed a little bit in the last 10 years in Delaware, but not much. Mostly, kids are spending an awful lot of school days doing standardized tests. I think that's crazy. I think in a world where there are AI education tutors, we should be able to utilize that technology to get very valuable real-time assessments of what students in our public schools know and don't know. That would have tremendous human benefit, but it's just an idea. It's an idea we have down on a piece of paper. Whether it actually works in practice yet or not, we're not sure. We're looking to have a small pilot of that, and then we'll scale it. And like a number of AI tools, we're just looking to, here's an idea. Let's test it out with guardrails. If it works, great. If not, let's learn and move on.
Should there be mandatory training of some sort for corporate boards? Because you can't assume the board members all are AI, but at least for them to know about AI boards, at least some level of education should be there. What is your thoughts on that?
I am in the Democratic Party, but I have some libertarian beliefs. Companies that are not incorporating AI, it's just like, if you go back 30 years, if you weren't incorporating IT, there weren't many IT departments 30, 35, 40 years ago. If you didn't develop an IT department and do it quickly, your company was gonna go out of business pretty quickly. And so my expectation is in many industries, AI is gonna be like that, that either you adopt AI tools or you don't at your peril.
Issue right now, what state regulations versus federal regulation. As you know, in the big, beautiful bill, there was an attempt to put a moratorium for 10 years that states would not be able to put any kind of AI regulation. Where do you come out on states having the ability to regulate AI versus the federal perspective?
I'm a huge fan of you know, something that's been a core principle of our country since its founding, and that is we have 50 laboratories of experimentation. We have 50 places where people can do things differently. Some states have decided to legalize marijuana. Other states don't think that's right. Some states, liquor stores aren't open on Sundays. Other states think, some states, New Mexico, just made childcare free. other states don't do that. We can all look at each other, and we, many of us as governors and state legislators, elected officials, and members of the public, look at other states and say, hey, look at this cool thing New Mexico, Nevada, or Nebraska is doing. Let's do that. Or look at this thing that South Carolina or Pennsylvania is doing. Let's not do that. I think it's really important. So I'm glad that ultimately did not make it in the into the bill, into the federal bill. I think it's important, especially when there's new technology like this. Give states the opportunity to experiment. I think what we'll see over time is some regulatory structures, some pilots really working and some not working, and states will tend to adopt the ones that work. And if they don't, then federal regulation can come in.
Just shifting more at a broader level, Governor, you know, Delaware was one of the first states to criminalize election deepfakes. How do you see AI shaping threats to democracy more broadly, and what role should states have in protecting electoral integrity?
Yeah, I think it's key. And I think that's an area where the federal government should act as well. And it's not, there are certainly new aspects to it with deepfakes, but it's not totally new. Things like doctoring pictures, right? And even doctoring videos. The technology has been around to do that for years. Now, the things you can do now just in the palm of your hand in a matter of seconds, minutes, or hours is extraordinary and is dangerous. And I think we need to take an active role. You can envision a world where a government that does not strictly regulate this stuff really loses its democracy, where one very smart, creative programmer or digital designer can take over an entire society, and we got to make sure we regulate so that never happens.
Governor, looking at the global perspective, I know you are in Delaware. You know, the European Union has its AI Act. China is doing its own thing. Within the U.S., obviously, our focus is on states like yours who are doing things. Should there be some kind of a harmonization globally, you know, for companies that are kind of trying to figure out, hey, what all do I need to be in compliance with, et cetera? What are your thoughts in some kind of a harmonization standards or something?
It's a good question. I don't have strong feelings about it. It makes sense for there to be a baseline of safety, security, privacy that major jurisdictions that our largest countries, the most frequent users of AI, all subscribe to. That makes sense to me. I know like privacy can be a nightmare for companies doing business in Europe and the US, technology companies that are like, we don't really care where someone's using except for the language they're using it in. It's the same thing, but they need to change all these things because every jurisdiction has different privacy laws, for example. So I think some standardization would make sense.
Wonderful. So, Governor, should advanced AI systems require government approval before public deployment, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Should algorithmic audits be mandatory for AI used in hiring or employment decisions?
Should they be mandatory? No. I told you I'm a libertarian.
Cool. Should states have the authority to ban AI applications they consider too risky?
Yes.
Okay. Is current federal oversight sufficient to manage emerging AI risk?
No.
Okay. Should AI companies be required to disclose their safety testing protocols?
Yes.
Do you think, Governor, we kind of touched on this, will AI ultimately create more jobs than it eliminates in the next decade?
I think it will, yes.
Should the U.S. establish a dedicated federal AI safety agency similar to the FDA?
Yeah.
Okay. And should all AI-generated content be clearly labeled as such that it is AI-generated?
Yes.
And should AI developers be held legally liable for downstream harms caused by their systems?
I'm going to plead the fifth. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough question.
That's a tough one.
It's fact-specific. In some instances, yes, in others, no.
Sounds good. Now, Governor, your peers around the world, what would be one thing that you would tell them from your experiences? As I said, you've done the certification, the sandbox, you're kind of at the cutting edge. What would be a message for you to them, Governor?
fear as AI really sweeps across global markets, we can't be driven by fear. We have to be driven by opportunity, but be realistic about the guardrails. That means move fast. Look at what the startup guys do and behave in government and in regulatory processes a little bit like them. Move quickly. You might break some things, but you need systems to quickly course correct. And that's the approach we're taking. We're fortunate. Delaware's unique. We're a small place. We call ourselves a state of neighbors where everyone's dated, mated, related. We can get everybody in a room and move quickly with regulatory structures. We can be nimble. And so we have that advantage. It's an advantage that numerous, you know, large companies, when they started as small companies, took advantage of. And that's what we're looking to do here. But I think other larger governments can do it as well. There's a temptation, particularly in government, to just be bogged down by all the fears and all the regulatory structure you can put to really confine an industry which may have tremendous human benefit in terms of saving lives, in terms of creating wealth and efficiencies across society. So look at it as a huge opportunity, but enter it with a critical mind. Measure and take the appropriate steps to protect people.
For our audience, he's a Emmy winner for his documentary. Now, from Emmy winner, you've gone to an AI pioneer, Governor. So really, that's fantastic. Thanks for a masterclass in building a responsible AI state where innovation truly, you paired it with accountability. And for our audience of policy shapers and AI leaders, Delaware's model, you know, AI sandboxing with equity metrics, portable credentials and clear guardrail, you know, offers a pragmatic blueprint that others can adopt. So thank you so much, Governor, for being on the Regulating AI podcast and for sharing what you do. And we are hoping to have you back again with us.
Great. Thanks so much, Sanjay. And thank you to all the listeners. Stay engaged. There's an exciting future in front of us.
Thank you, Governor.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI podcast with Sanjay Puri. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to leave a comment. We'd love to hear what you thought. Share it with someone curious about the future of AI, and join us next time for more stories and insights from the leaders shaping what's ahead. Right here on the Regulating AI podcast.